This is the Thundering Herd on ESPNRadio.com. Now,
Couscous Gunga Dan Livin' is
the Thundering Herd with Colin Cowherd.
It's incredible!
On ESPNRadio.com.
This is a full week of broadcasting, Fish. This is a full week of professional broadcasting.
Is that why you're wearing your glasses, trying to look like a pro?
No, this is who I am now. I can't read. It's called aging. Later, Uncle Colin will tell you about Notre Dame football. Good old days. All right, I want to start with this story.
Take those things off.
I can't read. I can't read it. So I got to read you this story. I'm not going to spend all day on this, but I have a little personal experience, a tiny bit of personal experience with this. Not a lot, but a tiny, tiny bit. Charles Barkley says, we love Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley says that Tiger Woods, he changed his cell phone number the day after the car accident, and Tiger's not talking to his famous friends. Barkley and filmmaker Spike Lee are worried that Tiger isn't taking advantage of the invaluable advice his friends, who are used to the spotlight, can offer. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm clearly not Tiger Woods. I am, to some degree, a public figure because of what I do, and I'm on ESPN 10 hours a day, radio or TV. And let me tell you two things you do when you're a public figure and things go sideways. A, you know what you did wrong. You don't need lectures. You don't even need opinions, even from friends, because you're the ultimate insider. You know you screwed up. And B, you know who you want to hang out with? People who aren't judgmental. People who aren't even interested, like kids or animals. In crisis, kids are great. My son Jackson, he just wants to play a video game. He wants to jump up and down on the couch. He didn't care. I mean, I could literally be Hannibal Lecter just eating people upstairs. Come down. Daddy, can have a piece of candy. Okay. You want to escape Barkley. You want to escape the lectures. You want to escape IMG. You want to escape Michael Jordan. By the way, I love Barkley, but I don't need his crisis management help. Love Charles, but in crisis management, I'm gonna skip past that one. Okay. And by the way, even your best friends, it's like the Truman Show with Jim Carrey. You think that guy's your best friend for 30 years? Even he's trying to get information out of you. Even your best friends, they're texting other people after they talk to you. Ooh, it's bad, dude. Because everybody wants to be an insider. So the two things, and the three or four times in my life I've dealt with crisis, my divorce, job trouble, you know, my well-known sex change. Hey, stop being judgmental. The three or four times I've been in trouble, A, I pull out of sight, and B, I hang out with kids and pets. I don't even have a pet. I just go to the kennel, adopt one for an hour. Whatever you got to do. But there's a reason Tiger's not giving Charles Barkley that phone number. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. Everybody's talking about you. You're trying to get out of it. There is a reason people change their phone numbers in crisis. Now, if I'm Tiger Woods, I've always thought it's pretty simple. The first thing you do, it's psychology 101. If I had to do a press release today, I would come out if I was Tiger Woods and I would say, you kill yourself. I would come out and say, I am so greatly disappointed in me. I have been a complete personal failure. I am so devastated by me. I failed my family and my children and my sponsors. I deserve all the criticism. I am embarrassed. I am humiliated. But most of all, I am disappointed in my lack of discipline. Psychology 101, if you say you're great, people will tell you you're not. If you say you're terrible, people will say you're not that bad. Come out and crush yourself. Then take a few months off, surround yourself with very few people who love you, respect you, and are not going to be judgmental. Come back in April, win the Masters, it goes away. Because as we all know, in America, sports figures are largely judged as separate entities from themselves. They are sports heroes, and then they are people. And we only really rip them when they're not golfing and not winning. If Tiger started golfing tomorrow, won seven straight tournaments, it would largely defuse this controversy. So, anyway, Charles, I love you to death, but there's a reason that Tiger Woods is not calling people. When you're a public figure and you get into this stuff, you know, hang out with plants, kids, and animals. It just makes life and the problems go away very quickly. Whoa, a guy that's opened up for years, Curtis Granderson, is the new Yankee outfielder and a real talent joining us in the herd on ESPN Radio. You've always been, Curtis, good with the media. You worked at ESPN. Do you think it helps you now you're moving to the media capital of the world?
I'm not necessarily sure, because you got guys that go through there that, you know, either deal great with the media, some guys that avoid the media, some guys have an English barrier with the media, and they still end up playing there. So I'm not sure if that was any major deciding factor at all, but I don't think it hurt any of them.
Yeah. You know, Curtis, when you used to play against the Yankees and you'd see this big payroll in the stars, did you ever once think, I wonder what it would be like to be a Yankee?
You know what? It never really crossed my mind. I was really focused on being a Detroit Tiger at the time. And our payroll was actually starting to creep up there, too. This past 2 years, I think we were top three, if not top five in payroll. So, you know, it was one of those things where, hey, you know, they're spending money, we're spending money. If that is the correlation to being successful, then we're right there. And sure enough, we were in contention 3 out of 4 years to get to the playoffs. And 1 year we did get to the playoffs and make it all the way to the World Series. But the Yankee name and the logo and the history and tradition of it, everybody knows about it. So you can't help but know and think and talk about the Yankees from childhood all the way up until now.
How do you think you fit into the club?
That's going to be interesting. You know, I'm not sure where I'm going to be in the lineup. There's a chance I might move around in the outfield, which I have no problem doing. Same thing with the lineup. I've bounced around throughout the lineup throughout my whole career, minor leagues and major leagues. I have had a chance to play with Derek Jeter in the World Baseball Classic, so that's going to be exciting to get a chance to be his teammate again. Some of these guys I've played with coming up, Robinson Cano, Jimmy Wong, Nick Swisher, all these guys either were opponents, but we've all been some of the same steps, the same levels coming up. So that relationship is going to be very similar. And then some of the other guys, again, you know, I know the names. I just got to go ahead and build a relationship, which should take just a little bit of time.
What was it like playing with Jeter?
Jeter was a cool guy. You know, it was amazing just to watch him go about his business, prepare, get his work done both before the game, during the game, and after the game. Just amazing to get a chance to watch that. But at the end of the day, you realize, hey, he's another teammate. You know, the superstar status, the icon of baseball that you see, when it all comes down to it, ends up being just a teammate. I had that same experience when I played with Pudge Rodriguez. You know, ultimately, the most well-known catcher to play this game and to become his teammate, same thing. And when I found out I was on the team and we're competing and we're all trying to accomplish the same goal, you start to realize he's not much different than you are.
You know, when you look at your place in the batting order, does it, you know, obviously you guys have certain places you'd rather hit. Is there a place you're more comfortable in the Yankees batting order?
Not necessarily. It's hard to go ahead and take a guy like a Derek Jeter out of the leadoff spot with what he's done, not only last year leading off, but consistently over his career. Then you take a guy like Johnny Damon, if he does happen to return to that lineup, and move him again with what he's done last year and also in his career. There's been talk about before moving to the middle of the lineup. I see that nowhere near happening with guys like A-Rod and Teixeira in the middle of that lineup doing what they've done. And so it looks like I'm probably going to be somewhere towards the middle bottom of the lineup, which I've done too, and I got no problem doing that. My main job, no matter what the situation is just to get myself on base. If there's guys on base, try to drive them in.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You're going to a team that won the World Series, so there's that overall pressure off the team. But do you put a lot of pressure on yourself? I mean, do you see yourself going to spring this year, going to the World Series champions, and putting a lot of pressure on yourself?
A little bit. At the same time, no, there's a lot of guys that have way more pressure than I do. Again, with the when you look at the payroll and you look at the names and the icons, I kind of slip right underneath the radar amongst a lot of these guys, which is fine. I like being in that position. The pressure side of me, I always want to win and look to get better. And sure enough, the New York media, like you talked about earlier, is going to be probably one of my biggest critics in terms of some of the things I've done bad throughout my career. But that's fine. You got to talk about that stuff. And hopefully those negatives end up turning into positives throughout the course of my career, especially starting in spring training.
You know, you were a color commentator throughout the playoffs, TBS last year. As a player looking down at the game and other teams, a little bit like a scout who's still playing in the game, how much does that help your game? What do you get from that?
It's a little tough because you're looking at guys in the month of October and possibly into November, and guys may bounce around teams, guys may keep the edge, guys may have a little bit of aggression and emotion that they wouldn't otherwise have throughout the rest of the season that you see in the postseason. So you take a little bit of it, you kind of remember the things that happen throughout the course of the season and can kind of correlate that into what they might do and how they will perform in the playoffs. But it's hard to take what a guy will do in October and translate it into the following April. But you take a little bit of from it, and hopefully if things start to look very similar to like they were, you go ahead and try to remember it. But you try to get rid of a lot of it as well, too, because the game changes so much, and guys get stronger, guys get healthier, guys get injured, guys transfer teams, guys lose teammates, guys get managers. All these different things change. And those things can add mental stress or mental positives to a person's career and throughout the next season.
Well, Curtis Granderson, off the field, you have served as an ambassador to Major League Baseball internationally. You've been to Italy and China and South Africa. You've always been great in the media. It is interesting when you look at the Yankees. They're doing it right now. Most of their star players are in their peak. How many more peak years, Curtis, do you believe you have?
Wow, you know, that's probably, you know, one of the most interesting questions, definitely, because I don't know if I've reached it. I don't know if I've already gone to it. I don't know if it's still coming. And the only way to figure that out will be when it's all said and done and look at some of the numbers and what I've individually done and what I've done for the teams I've been a part of. But it's amazing when you watch guys like a Johnny Damon put up career highs and home runs this year. When you talk about Derek Jeter continue to hit the way he's been able to. A-Rod is consistently doing the numbers that he's been able to. And the amount of career years that they've had, I'm far from the number of years that service time that all these guys have had. So hopefully the peak is still yet to come. And I'm just on my way up to the top and can get up there and stay for a while. But, you know, again, that won't be able to be addressed until everything is all said and done.
CurtisGranderson.com, celebrity basketball game in Detroit, raising money for Michigan's inner city schools. Game is January 24th. One of the sharp dudes in Major League Baseball. He is a New York Yankee heading to spring in just a couple of months. Great talking to you, Curtis.
Hey, thank you. No problem. And, hey, you're more than welcome to come out to the game. Should be a lot of fun.
Thanks, man. Curtis Granderson.
No.
Whoa.
We do it every day at this time. We call it our daily sports page.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports.
Spanning. Chicago.
Kobe has a broken finger and an upset stomach. He drops 42 on the Bulls. John Ireland, 710 ESPN, been covering the Lakers for KCAL for years. By the way, how bad is the injury, John?
Colin, take it, just screwing around sitting there at your desk, take a roll of tape and just wrap it around your right index finger a bunch of times, and then at some point splint the top of your finger. Take a piece of plastic. Cut up a credit card, Colin. That'll be good for your spending habits.
All right.
Put a piece of plastic on the top of your finger and then wrap it up in tape about four times. I don't know how he's shooting the ball. I mean, you've played basketball. That's the last finger that touches the ball when he lets it go. And for the past two or three days, they've been playing around with different splints, and they finally found one that allowed him to take his normal stroke and put spin on the ball, and last night he lit him up.
You know, I'll tell you something. Gasol and Bynum are really stepping up. Bynum's an interesting cat. Massive talent, incredibly long. Is this the breakout year, not only physically, but emotionally for him?
If he played on a different team, Colin, I think he would be every night a 25-10 guy. But the Lakers have so many star players. You know, he really is, on any given night, the fourth or fifth option on this team, and that's what he's got to kind of reconcile in his head. Once you go through, for, you know, Kobe's obviously number one, Gasol's number two. On some nights, Artest is three. On some nights, Odom is four, and then Bynum gets the ball. So he's not going to put up massive numbers like I think everybody thinks he should. And people forget he's only 22. So I mean, the sky's the limit on his potential. I don't know if he'll have a breakout year statistically or emotionally like you're talking about, because he plays on a team with so many other stars, but he is definitely kind of the gem, the diamond in the rough. He's a guy that could take over a game if he played on a team with less stars.
John Ireland, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, afternoons, great show in L.A. Thanks, bud.
Anytime, Colin. Have a great show.
Seattle.
The Mariners get Cliff Lee. Your Mariners when they're losing, my Mariners when they acquire good players. Shannon Dreher, Mariners insider, joining us. Cliff Lee to go with your staff. Sean Figgins, are the Mariners done shopping?
Oh, no. They need a bat. They currently do not have a true three or four hitter. Left field will probably be solved internally. Michael Saunders is a good candidate there, but they still have holes at first base and at DH, big power positions. They got little guys, but somebody's got to drive them in.
By the way, Sean Figgins, Ichiro. Figgins is a guy that can hit at the top of the order. Ichiro, how's that thing going to work out in the batting order? What do we know, Shannon?
Initially, at first, it's going to be Ichiro who leads off. That's a massive undertaking any time you move him, be it position in the field or be it in the batting order. His whole identity is leadoff hitter. Everything he does is focused towards being that leadoff hitter. He put the bat down for one day after the season, and then on October 6th was back at Safeco Field working out and hitting, and that's because he wants to be the leadoff guy. For now, Figgins will hit second. He is fine with that. He said that at the press conference. He's showed a lot of reverence for Ichiro, but it's going to be really interesting to see the two playing, both in the batting order and also Ichiro's top dog on this team. Sean Figgins comes in and starts stealing bases. I think you're going to see a little bit of a competitive nature from Ichiro, and I think they're going to push each other a little bit. It'll be great to see.
Jason Bay, Red Sox, lives in Seattle in the offseason. Any shot the M's get him?
You know, I've spoken with several people who think that the M's may be just kind of lying in the weeds on this one. It's hard to see how he would figure into the budget right now. I think the Mariners are monitoring the situation there. Bay has told many players around him that Seattle is where he wants to be, and I think that Jack Zarenczyk is kind of sitting back right now and saying, if you want to be here, let's see how much you want to be here. He's not an option they have to have. He's an option they're interested in, and this has yet to play out. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it would be a tough one to get done.
All right, good stuff, Shannon. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Big Ten.
All right, the conference exploring expansion. I think Rutgers is an amazing fit. Good academically, big school, very Big Ten-ish. Get you close to New York. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, covers the conference. All right, there's a bunch of teams out there. All right, we'll get him back. He just dropped. You know, the Big Ten. Not only are they losing bowl games, they have a phone problem. Even if you cover the conference, they have a big phone problem right now, Fish. Does he have Verizon and Friends, Fish? That's what we have. That's why you and I chat all day. All right, Adam. Adam, let's start with the Notre Dame thing. Any chance Notre Dame would give up its NBC contract?
I don't think so, Colin, and that's exactly why they wouldn't. It just doesn't make financial sense for them to relinquish their independent status in that contract. Until NBC wants to get rid of that, then they might want to consider it, but they obviously have some competitive, their other sports pretty competitive in the Big East, so I don't see that happening.
I think Rutgers is a slam dunk. Your thoughts about Rutgers?
You know, I think there's certainly some momentum there. You know, I think the Big East, really Rutgers, Syracuse, or Pitt, certainly all of them make some degree of sense. The New York market certainly is a big part of this with the Big Ten, forming the Big Ten Network. They're going to want to bring in a TV market. And, you know, if Rutgers has elevated its facilities and it obviously is improved in football, I definitely think there's an argument to be made there.
You could make a pretty good argument for Pittsburgh, although you already have the Pittsburgh TV market because of Penn State. It looks like Pittsburgh's probably the second best choice.
Yeah, but yeah, potentially. I think the one issue there could be the fact that they play in an NFL stadium. The Big Ten really likes the kind of campus feel, so that could be a holdup. I think you got to look also, Colin, to the Big 12 North. I mean, some of those football, as a football division, it's really kind of fallen on hard times. I think go for Nebraska, go for Missouri, try to steal a team from out of there, because certainly there's some already natural rivalries built in for both those teams with a team like Iowa or Illinois.
Good stuff, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, covers the Big Ten. Good stuff, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
That was Spanning the Globe.
To bring you the constant variety of sports.
In the Herd on ESPN Radio.
Whoa!
Colin Cowherd.
ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
It's time to get in the herd.
Everybody joins us via the Subway Fresh Cake Hotline. Even ESPN's Beano Cook. Beano, I hear you're back home. Feel better now?
Well, it's always good to be out of a rehab center.
Yeah.
But I still have a problem with my foot, and I have to wear a thing called the VAC, and But it's better than being in a rehab, believe me.
I know. You know, those nurses and those doctors, they're wonderful people, but it's nice to be home and eat your own soup and do your own stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, we got two big issues here. First of all, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, he wore a green tie. He sure looked like an Irish coach to me. I think he's going to be pretty good. What do you think?
Oh, I think he's going to be very good. But I thought Charlie Weiss was going to be good, too.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
It's like, I get a big kick out of all these people who say, well, Notre Dame's irrelevant. 200 people showed up at the press conference. I think if Ohio State changed coaches, there might be 50 people there. And Notre Dame's all is relative. Win or lose, when they're losing, half the population is happy. When they're winning, half the population is sad. I mean, Notre Dame, the Yankees in Dallas, they have more. 50% of the people like them, 50% of the people dislike them.
Absolutely. It's the same way America feels about Kit Kat Bar, I've always felt. Very polarizing. I'm pro Kit Kat Bar. But you
I'm
don't eat
Heath Bar.
You're what?
Heath Bar.
Heath Bar. That's terrible for your teeth. You know that, right?
Well, I don't touch that stuff now, but I like the Heath Bar.
All right, fair enough. Okay, let's get to the Big Ten. The Big Ten is adding a program. They have come out and said, we want to add one more program and go to 12. Joe Paterno's been for it for years. It looks like it's going to happen. I think Rutgers is an amazing fit. It's big. It's academically strong. New Jersey's next to New York. They got a major airport. The schools are Rutgers, Pitt. Notre Dame's not going to do it probably because they don't want to give up their NBC deal. Is there anybody you think fits perfectly in the Big Ten?
I don't think anybody does out of the Big East. I just don't. I mean, I think the four logical schools are Connecticut, Syracuse, Pitt, and Rutgers. I just think I just don't think it's a fit. I'm not sure Penn State's a fit. But again, they want to expand for one reason. They want to have a title game.
Yes.
They would take Vassar if Vassar would come in. So they could have 12 teams, two divisions. That's why they're doing this. BC can say all they want about the ACC. It's not a good fit. And it won't be in the long run.
All right, so Big Ten's getting a new school. Notre Dame has Brian Kelly. Okay, can you give me the Rose Bowl or Ohio State, Oregon? Why don't you throw me a prediction on that one?
Well, I think Ohio State will pull the upset.
Whoa, what's going on with you? I think you spent too much time in a hospital. What's going on? Why do you like that?
I mean, Ohio State is just grateful they don't have to play USC.
Yes.
They're grateful. I mean, if SC is in there, they beat Ohio State. That's the team that just terrorizes the Big Ten.
Right.
And they're just grateful that USC is in the game.
By the way, how come you don't gamble? You always know the lines, but you don't gamble. That's sort of odd, isn't it?
The reason is I don't like to say so-and-so upset so-and-so when they weren't favored.
When's the last time you bet a football game?
I bet the championship game every year.
With
a friend.
Oh, with a friend. Like, what do you bet a six pack of Guinness, or will you bet a pack of Heath bars? What do you bet?
We bet 100. That's $100. Whoever loses gets to pick the odds, the team they want, until they win.
By the way, when you win, let's say you win, do you go down and buy a pack of Marlboros and go to the topless joint? I mean, what do you do with the money you win?
Don't smoke. I used to. I gave it up. Cold turkey. I used to smoke 3 packs a day.
Holy smoke. 3 packs a day?
I did.
By the way, I know, first of all, I know you've had some health problems. Can I make a recommendation for lunch? Because I'm pretty healthy.
Yes.
I just talked to my doctor the other day. I'll tell you what he says. You
should.
He says the best thing to eat for lunch is eggnog milkshakes and about 4 Big Macs. So you go out today. This one's on me. I'll put it on the company dime.
Very good. If you get it through, it's a miracle.
Okay, we got to get out of here, pal.
Okay.
Whoa!
Here's one for the road.
You think we need one more?
Nah, better make it 2.
All right, we'll get one more.
2 for the road in the herd.
Last week, police arrested a man, a shift manager at a Sonic Burger in Missouri, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's about halfway between St. Louis and Memphis, Tennessee. Apparently, he worked his shift. Then he left. Then about 1:57 in the morning, that worker came back to Sonic Burger, the shift manager. Unfortunately for him, he tripped the burglar alarm. And when police showed up that morning, they found the man in a Sonic uniform whipping up a batch of meth. Don't do meth! The restaurant was closed the next day. It's now open for business. Don't do meth, folks. Especially at Sonic Burger at 1:57 a.m. Don't do meth! From Kelso, Washington, outside of Vancouver near the Portland area, Scott Schwingdorf, really, is today's hero of the day. A few weeks ago, a house in Scott's neighborhood caught fire. Nobody was hurt. There was enough damage, the homeowners had to leave. Anyway, on Sunday, Scott noticed a burglar, 32-year-old Galen Crane, attempting to loot his neighbor's house that had fire damage. So he saw this Galen Crane guy, 32-year-old guy, trying to loot the house. So he went home and got his bow and arrow. He went back and confronted this Galen Crane guy, at which point Galen took off running. So Scott Schwingdorf from Kelso, Washington, with a bow and arrow in hand, hauled off and shot him right in the butt. Galen managed to escape, but later that night he was arrested at the emergency room. How about that? Stop a burglar with a bow and arrow. Listen to ESPN Radio SportsCenter updates, the best podcasts and more anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNRadio.com on your mobile phone or BlackBerry today. All right, well, we are tomorrow in the show. Peter King will stop by. Wes Welker of the Patriots, Teddy Bruschi. Good stuff today. We had Andy Reid, Curtis Granderson, all sorts of stuff. All sorts of stuff. So we work an entire week this week. We're doing the whole week. It's a new thing we're trying at ESPN Radio. I will work the entire week because I've had some responsibilities, some duties. In the middle of the week, Fish, and you've taken time off, and it's near the holidays, so.
You're trying to wrap up those days off that you got left, you know, yeah. End of the year, yeah. Yeah. Shopping and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, I got all the presents. I gotta get my sister something, and we'll
try. What'd you get the staff this year?
I don't like to let the cat out of the bag on that
okay.
one. I like to surprise.
Keep people. That cat at home, huh?
What do you think about a pint of potato salad? How would that go? Or
I'd rather have a pint of Jack.
All right, I'll consider that. Jack who? Hey. All right, we will see you tomorrow in the herd on ESPN Radio.